Welcome to the Rock Show Project. I'm your host, Dave LePage. We are talking rock and roll. You're coming with me. 80s, 90s, rock of today. Buckle up, it's going to be fun. We got some top 10s coming your way. We got some interviews coming your way. Let's get started at the Rock Show. So show number one, the 80s edition. Pick the big one here, folks. Get ready. Let's go with the top 10 guitar solos of the 80s. Hard one. I got to tell you, it was probably one of the most challenging ones. And I think I bit off way more than I can chew. As you know, when you give out your opinion on things, people disagree sometimes. And I will gladly take your disagreements in order. I have a bunch of honorable mentions. You got to go with honorable mentions, just the way it goes. Right out of the gates, Cult of Personality. Honorable mention, Living Color, Vernon Reid. Tremendous job on the solo. A sound like we've never heard before at that point in time. Can't say too much more than that. It's an honorable mention, so I got to move on. One of the things you will find is that I've, out of the top 10, I've left out some big names. Eddie Van Halen's one of those names. Sorry. I've got Panama as an honorable mention. I would have to say that Eddie Van Halen is a great songwriter. Most of his guitar work kind of shocked everybody in the 70s. So I guess I'll have to wait on Eddie Van Halen for that 70s show to kind of come out with his name in a top 10. One I was dying to put in, and somebody corrected me on the release date, and I went back and checked all of the release dates. Get the Funk out, Nuno Bettencourt. You got Brian May talking about a solo, you better be good. And that's exactly what happened to Nuno. Get the Funk Out came out in 1990, however, so it is not part of this top 10. Would have been, just by short by a year. This one's going to make a lot of people mad. Randy Rhoads, Crazy Train, gets an honorable mention. God rest his soul. Randy Rhoads was tremendous, absolutely tremendous guitarist. I've played the song live many, many times. I love the solo. Once you hear the top 10 and my reasons, you'll understand a little better. But totally believe Randy Rhoads will get an honorable mention for Crazy Train. The last one probably will cause a little bit of a stir. Gentleman's name is Key Marcello. He's from the band Europe, and the solo is from Superstitious. Probably one of the better solos I've heard in the 80s. Very melodic. One of his, I would say, his best solo that he's ever written. Just not strong enough to get into the top 10. So there you go, my honorable mentions, and I know I've already made some of you mad. Sorry, I just wanted to give you a little reminder. We are on to 11. You might ask, why 11? Well, all I can tell you is my list goes to 11. Those of you who understand what that reference means. Heaven Tonight, Yngwie Malmsteen. Great song. Probably recognize the guy who's singing, voice. Jolin Turner from Rainbow actually recorded the vocals on this tune. Yngwie was a man beyond his time. Actually had a version of, I think they called it neoclassical in terms of how this guy plays. Incredible staccato, great right hand, even better left hand. Just a piece of work. However, my list does go to 11, as most amps did in the 80s. So I figured, what the heck? 80s guitar, might as well make my list at 11. Yngwie Malmsteen, Heaven Tonight. We'll be right back. down to 10. Now we're into the top 10. Number 10 for me is Alex Lifeson from the band Rush. Back in 1981, moved off the Moving Picture album, a song called Limelight. The reason I picked the song is 1981, not too many people were using the whammy bar at that point, the tremolo bar is more properly pronounced. Alex has said in numerous interviews that the song was written to be very lonely. Neil Peart's lyrics were very lonely in nature, so his job was to create a solo that sounded lonely. Great job here with the tremolo. He actually used, I was looking this up, he actually used something he called a Hentor Sportscaster, which basically was a Fender with a Floyd Rose whammy, something near and dear to my heart. God bless the Fender with a little Floyd Rose. Here's Alex Lifeson, Limelight. Number 9, this one might surprise you. Very few people probably even know this song. It's by the band Marillion, the guitarist named Steve Rothery. The name of the song is Easter. It's off of their Seasons End album, which was roughly 88, 89. This was the album that was just after Fish had left. You may remember Marillion from two songs. I know particularly for me, one of them is very near and dear, named a daughter after the first song, Kaylee. And then Lavender was another one. That was Fish that had sung those with Marillion. Probably the only two songs that really hit it big. But I would tell you this, in terms of Steve Rothery's ability to play the guitar and make it sing, very, very David Gilmour-esque. You will love this solo. The whole song is tremendous as well. If you're into that, they're kind of prog rock, kind of put in the prog rock category. But I just love the way he makes his guitar sing in the song, and it's just so in the pocket. Again, here's Marillion with Easter. Just a beautiful solo from Marillion there, and the rest of the song just kicks right into towards the end. Love, love, love the song again. Probably not on your list, but did make my list of 11. Down to number 8, couldn't leave this guy out, Steve Lukather. What a tremendous guitarist, responsible for so many hits from Toto. This is not Africa's, not the big one, not a big solo there, but I would tell you Rosanna, definitely on the list at number 8. This is off the Toto 4 album. This came out in 1982. A couple of interesting pieces I heard about this song. This was, Toto 4 was one of the last albums the singer Bobby Kimball was on. They changed their singer out later in the 80s with another great voice as well. But Steve Lukather also sang a couple of songs through this. There's a key change in the middle of the song. That's because it goes from Lukather to Kimball in terms of the lead singing duties. Another interesting fun fact about this song, and again, great keyboard solo in there too, David Page as well, with an incredible keyboard solo with Steve Porcaro as well. Just a great, great, good feel song. This was never a number one song, which kind of shocked me when I saw this. Actually was kept out of the number one position by, you guessed it, Eye of the Tiger, Survivor. Anyway, that did not make my list, but Steve Lukather would make a most guitarists' lists in terms of just a top 10, even just a straight guitarist. They just recently put out some new music too as well. If you're really into the prog stuff and if you think Toto was just Rosanna, start listening to what they're recording these days. It's tremendous stuff, and Lukather is at the head of all of that. Here we go, number 8, Rosanna, Steve Lukather. Right now down to 7. One of the best guitarists I heard in the 80s. Actually came out in the late 80s. There was a lot of great guitarists that came out in the late 80s. I'd throw Dan Huff in there from Giant. If you haven't listened to anything from Giant, you got to listen to Giant. Dan is a tremendous guitar player. He's probably one of the biggest producers right now in country music. He's just got a ton of great stuff, a great, great for guitarists. Another guy hit number 7 on my list. Came out in the late 80s. A lot of people cracked on this band, the band Winger, just because Kip Winger was a ballet guy in the front. But I'll tell you what, Red Beach can play the guitar. And when they first came out with the song is 17. Kip has said that this is the hardest song to play and sing at the same time. Very, very impressive, the bass lines from Kip Winger and singing at the same time. Great voice, but Red could really, really play. The song was written, believe it or not, after the Beatles, the Star Standing There. The first line, she was just 17. You know the rest of the song. VH1 actually named the song the 87th best hard rock song ever. Ever. Red Beach has a sound all his own. I've seen him live, I don't know how many times. His combination of tapping and picking and his left hand, again, another tremendous left hand, but it's what he does with his right hand that really sets him apart. His tapping skills are unbelievable. And again, I can't say it enough. When you hear Red Beach play, you know it's Red Beach, and that's the sound of a great guitarist. Number 7, 17, Red Beach, Winger. Great feel solo right there. A lot of people have said Headed for a Heartbreak 2 should be on your list. It's my list. I like 17 better, but I'll tell you what, love Headed for Heartbreak as well. It's a great song. Red does a great. He's got I don't even know how long. It's like it feels like a 20-minute solo at the end of the song. I'm sure he loved it. And again, great work on Headed for a Heartbreak as well from Red Beach. Number 6. A lot of you should have guessed this was coming up from me. If you know me, you know I love my Night Ranger. And as many Night Ranger solos as there are, there is always one that has always hooked me. To this day, I still, when I hear it, I pull out my air guitar, whether I'm in a car, going to the bathroom or cooking or whatever. I love this solo. And again, many have mentioned all kinds of different solos from Night Ranger. Great two-guitar band, Jeff Watson, Brad Gillis. But I've loved this guy ever since I heard him. Talked about the whammy use of the tremolo from Alex Lifeson. This guy just took it to a whole nother level. any solo that you see him play is so melodic and can rip at any given time. I'm actually going with Sister Christian, number 6, off the Midnight Madness album. Interesting fun fact, this was originally written for Dawn Patrol, which was a great record as well. But they were worried, they didn't put it on the album because they were worried about losing their hard rock credibility. Kind of crazy. I wonder what would have happened if they'd have put it there. It's their biggest song to date. It was written from Kelly Cagey, based upon his sister Christine. The tone, the whammy, the solo just flows, and he just knows how to make the guitar sing. Number 6, Sister Christian, Brad Gillis. Number 5 song may surprise you. It may not. I think a lot of people need to hear it again. This is by a guitarist that came out in the late 80s as well, with that whole crop that I was talking about with Dan Huff and Red Beach. The guy's name is Vito Bratta. This is the band White Lion. Probably one of the biggest monster songs you'll ever heard that came out in the late 80s. This was a massive, massive song for them. They couldn't really pull the popularity back after that. And come to find out, the lead singer, Mike Tramp, hasn't played with Vito Bratta since 1991. So the Vito Bratta-Mike Tramp combination hasn't been together at all. So whatever White Lion you've seen since 1991 has not had this guy in it. And it's too bad, because his tone and his personality as it comes through on the solo is absolutely tremendous. This was actually from 1987. At one point, he actually did an interview and said that his tone and his sound was not really created for live. So never really liked playing the song live, which is funny because it was their biggest song, but basically could never recreate the sound that he did on the album live. And I get it, very high tones and not able to reproduce when you got a whole band, you got a drummer and a bassist and a singer who's trying to out-sing everything behind you. So interesting fun fact about that one. The guitarist is Vito Bratta from White Lion. We are down to 4. It's getting tight around here. Number 4. Most of the 80s had developed 2 sounds. One was a lead singer and then a lead guitarist. And if you had those 2 guys, you could do a ton with them. This band had both of those elements in spades. You're going to hear this band a lot in some of my top 10s. Quite possibly one of the better singers of the 80s. Get a chance to see them live. The band is Skid Row. Clearly, the lead singer, Sebastian Bach, I don't believe he's with the band anymore. I think he's out on his own. But I really love this song because the solo from Dave Snakesabo. This was 1989, towards the end. Again, another late 80s kind of hair metal clash, trying to get in on the hair metal piece, and probably a little bit too late. It was written by Sabo and the other guitarist, Bolin. 2003, they re-released it with a new singer. I can only imagine the song does not sound anywhere near as good as it does with anybody else singing but Sebastian. But love the fact within the solo that he, again, just really makes the guitar sing. And some of the squeals and the runs that he pulls off, and just the overall tone of the solo, absolutely tremendous 80s rock. Dave Sabo, I Remember You, Skid Row. in the top three. Next one up, number three, John Sykes. That's all I need to say. And if you don't know who he is, go check him out. Unbelievable guitarist. Recorded the Whitesnake album in 1987, self-titled Whitesnake album. They actually put a song that was written in 1982 by the band's original guitarist, Bernie Marsden. Sykes redid it in 1987. If you're interested, listen to both. I mean, there's no brainer which one's best. The solo itself is just unbelievable, John Sykes. Again, one of those guitarists, the minute you hear him play, you know exactly who it is. And what he does in Crying in the Rain is just phenomenal. Again, doing some research, Coverdale had said that, and again, I don't know what the relationship is between Coverdale and Sykes. I know it was strained. Coverdale has been quoted that saying that Sykes hated the blues. And the original version of Crying in the Rain was a lot more bluesy. Coverdale's a blues guy. The original version, a lot more bluesy. But I'll tell you what, when John Sykes took the guitar to that solo, unbelievable magic that happened. The other thing about Sykes, if he hasn't been with Whitesnake ever since that album. He did tour with them a little bit on that album. If you ever get a chance to see Sykes live, go look up some YouTube videos. The dude can sing. And I'm telling you what, he pulls out some of those Whitesnake songs off of the album, Bad Boys Run Wild. He's actually singing and playing. Unbelievable. The dude is just a genius, phenomenally talented. Probably a lot of people wouldn't say this is number three, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm saying it's number three. Crying in the Rain, John Sykes from 1987. So at this point, for those of you who know me, you know that there's some folks that haven't come up yet. They weren't in the honorable mentions, and you know that I think they're pretty darn good guitarists. Here's probably, in my estimation, the best. Dave LePage's favorite guitarist. His name is Neil Sean, plays in the band Journey. I probably don't have to introduce him. You guys know who he is. Started out at like 15 with Carlos Santana, started Journey in the late 70s. And as I'm sitting here saying Neil Sean from Journey, you're probably going, which solo, right, is Dave going to pick for number two? Well, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to give you a top 10 of Neil Sean's greatest solos down the road. This was probably my hardest decision. I'm going to go early Neil Sean in the 80s, 1981, the Escape album. If you haven't listened to that album in, I don't know, last six months, just go back and listen to it. If you're a guitar fanatic, go back and listen to the whole entire album. Every solo, every song just cuts right through to the core. So I broke it down to that album, and then I'm like going, all right, what do I pick? Mother, Father, tremendous solo. Escape, tremendous solo. There's only really one that does both of the things that Neil Sean does incredibly well. A, he's melodic. He can be as melodic as anybody else out there, and B, the dude shreds when he wants to. You listen to Still They Ride, and I'm going to tell you what. He can come out with the most beautiful, heart-wrenching, musically melodic solo and then immediately rip into this riff that you're just like going, oh my God, this guy is so good and so tastefully done. Knows when to let it fly, knows when to make music, and that is the mark of a tremendous guitar solo. Number two, Still They Ride, Neil Sean from Journey. Drum roll, I play it now. Maybe I'll go look for it next time. I gotta go get a drum roll for all these top tens. The number one best guitar solo of the 80s. There is somebody missing here, and I'm sure you're trying to think of them. You're probably here right now. Bon Jovi, Richie Sambor. Again, huge Richie Sambor fan. Very blues, very melodic at times. This is the solo that took the cake for me the whole entire way. Wanted Dead or Alive, the song written in, I want to believe it's Richie's mother's basement. And I hate it when band members talk about how songs were written, how quickly they came together. Oh, that one took 5 minutes and da-da-da-da-da. Apparently, this is one of those songs. It took 10 minutes. We had it done, wrapped up, and it became probably the biggest Bon Jovi song out there. 1987, the album was Slippery When Wet. It was inspired by Bob Seger's Turn the Page, and you could tell the minute you start seeing what they were talking about, and what John really loved about the West, and they kind of combined everything right there. With a six string on my back, how about that? The solo itself just rocks, and again, that probably just like I said with Sister Christian, another solo that anytime I hear it played, I've heard it probably 45,000 times. I don't know where I got that number from. I don't think I've counted, but I'm pretty sure I heard it at least that much. Every time I hear the song, I get to hear the song from beginning to the end, and every time I hear the song, I get to hear the solo. It's as simple as that. Air guitar comes out, ready to go, ready to play. Seen it done live by a bunch of different people, played in the song live with some other folks too. Nobody does it like Richie. Nobody's got the tone. Nobody's got the sound. But quite frankly, one of the best put together solos, tonally, arrangement wise. He just makes his guitar sing. There's your number one. What do you think? Give me some comments. But anyway, I'll leave you with the solo. You got to hear the solo, of course. Number one, Wanted Dead or Alive, Richie Sambor or Bon Jovi. Alrighty, there you have it. Dave LePage's top 10, 11, top 10 that goes to 11, greatest guitar solos of the 80s. I know people have opinions. Go ahead and leave them in the comment section. Probably get fried for most of my friends at this point in time. But that's okay. I have the microphone. And for now, that's my list of 10. You get some issues with it, let me know. We'll put something together. And maybe I'll just flat out interview it over Zoom. We can hash it out and talk about what you think it is too. More shows to follow. Got some great ideas. I believe, I kind of like his 80s things for now. I'm going to tell you, I think the next show I'm going to do is probably the top 10 voices of the 80s. And I'm going to keep that one to 10. I promise you that. Had to go big with 11 on the first one out. Hope you like it. Again, give me some comments at the bottom. If you don't, that's fine too. No worries. You don't have to listen. But if you do, let me know. And also throw out some ideas, some top 10 ideas about 80s. I'm actually, the show is going to cover some 90s and new rock as well, because I believe what I listen to in the 80s will also formulate what I tended to listen to in the 90s and what I listen to right out of the gates here today. So the modern rock is going to be touched upon as well. So in any case, let me know. Thanks for listening. If you made it to the end, I hope I didn't disappoint. And we'll see you next time. Top 10 80s voices. We'll see how that goes. Take care. And as always, rock on, but do it in a safe manner.